My wife is literally having her birthday party in the other room right now. Everybody, all her friends and family are over, and everyone's having cake and coffee, and I'm here with you, buddy.
Oh my God, lucky you.
Kind of. Sort of hit the jackpot.
Yeah, you did.
Welcome to episode 253 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam
in Vancouver, Canada. I'll finish it for you. That's the kind of guy I am.
Thank you.
What's going on, buddy?
I just rolled out of bed.
Have you bought anything on Amazon recently? Betting. Do you buy betting on Amazon?
No. I did. I told you, I don't know, last week or can't remember exactly, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, that I bought most of my Christmas presents on Amazon.
You mentioned it, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm ahead of the game. It's only November.
It's only November. You say that, but wow, this I'll mention. You know what? I'm going to mention it briefly now instead of in the did you shoot anything interesting section. We have had the most glorious fall weather this week. Because okay. you said Christmas, you know, it's just not even Christmas yet. It's six weeks till Christmas, essentially.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. It was over 20 degrees today.
Wow.
Yeah. And yesterday. I went to the playground with the kids yesterday. There were kids at the playground and wearing the bare feet. Went for a bike ride today in only a t-shirt. And it's unbelievable.
Okay. Just global warming.
Whatever. German warming. I don't know. It'll go away. We'll have some cold weather. But just wow. Wow. Quick note, though, this is going to be hopefully, potentially, a shorter show just due to a scheduling issue.
Okay.
You had an exam of some sort?
Yeah, I had an exam the other day, yesterday.
I'm already bored of that story.
Yeah.
I was sick, which never happens. I used to be that guy. You know those guys who would always boldly announce, I never get sick?
Yeah, I've done that before.
I was that guy. And then you know what I did? I had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And not even that. It wasn't the fact that I had kids. It's that everybody else in the village had kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I had kids, it was still fine. It was a couple of years without getting sick. And then they go off to kindergarten, and all of a sudden, I'm Typhoid Alan. And that... So, but now the thing is, though, when you're the guy who never gets sick, when you do get sick, you really get sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's no fun. So I was out of it, just delirious. We couldn't record at our regular time because I was just delirious.
Okay.
And the second thing that happens when you're that guy is when you do get sick is everybody secretly and not so secretly just takes great delight.
I.e. your wife?
No, she loves me.
Okay.
Everybody else, though, is like, yeah, you never get sick, though. Blam. So anyways, all good now, though. I bounce back quickly because, you know.
You never get sick.
I don't like to say I'm a golden god, but here we are.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It's raining, like, all the time here right now, so I can't really feel your weather that over here.
Right.
Sorry, my articulation of verbiage right now is poor.
This is
I'm not
early.
Sure. Are we doing this or am I dreaming this? I'm not sure what's happening
right
now.
You have bad. You have nightmares, buddy.
I'm staring at the bright light of my LCD or LED or whatever they are now on computers, and just drifting off into a strange state right now.
Tell me at least you're recording.
Yeah, that's where the little numbers counting up, right?
Potentially, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all we need to know.
I think we're recording.
You know what? You know what I bought the other day? You don't know. How would you know?
I don't know.
I guess you might know. I might have mentioned it. Not on Amazon. I bought a new used flash the other day.
A new used flash. Okay. But you have a few already, don't you?
I have a few, but I have enough.
You wanted more.
No, I didn't want more. I was just, the deal was so good. I couldn't pass it up. I was walking around town, and as I'm apt to do whenever I'm in town, in the old town, I pop into there's a couple, I guess there's 2-3 camera stores in town, despite us being a rather small town. That mm-hmm. and of those camera stores generally have like a counter of used equipment.
Okay.
You know, and it kind of goes in waves, evidently, about, you know, what kind of stuff comes through. And I always just poke my head in there, you know, just to see, hey, what sort of stuff have they got? And I saw a Nikon SB25.
Okay.
Now, I have a couple of SB28s, which are honestly fantastic.
Yeah.
I've had my eye out. I wanted an SB26 because it's like the SB28, essentially, but it has a built-in optical trigger.
Okay, yep.
Meaning you don't need to hook anything else to it, and for the most part, in most cases, it'll work.
Right.
You know, it'll see your other flashes go, and it'll trip itself.
Mm-hmm. That's no more what I triggers. Want. Yeah, you don't need any more triggers.
Right. I mean, reliability might be an issue. If it's your only flash, maybe you want to have, you know, be able to trigger it with a remote. But for me, for what I would use it for in around the house, just a hair light, boom, no problem. But still can't find one. But I happen to see an SB25 kicking around. And I thought, wow, I don't really know much about this particular unit. But it looks brand new. It's a Nikon. And I know the SB24 works well for the strobists and a very, you know, reasonable priced. And so in my head, the 25 must be, you know, in between there.
Okay.
So it's brand new. I don't buy it. I leave it. I'm pretty confident that it'll be there in the next day or two. Come home, check it out, and sure enough, everyone's saying, yeah, it's good flash. It's retailing on eBay between $50 and $80, or euros. I don't know what it is in dollars.
Okay.
50 and 80 euros. And they want 15 for it.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah. So despite me not really needing another one, how do I pass that up? Brand new for 15 euros.
Can't pass it up.
No, I did not. So it's in the bag now. So now, essentially, for me, like now the issue becomes I only have 3 receivers in my kit. I have 1 transmitter and 3 receivers, so I can only use 3 flashes, right?
Yeah.
So I have no way to trip the 4th flash if I want to use 4. However, I can now do a full 3-point lighting setup with cheap flashes. Because before, my main flash was my 580 EX2, which I didn't ever want to drop.
Right.
But now I can leave it in the bag and only use it on camera if I want. And the other full setup. Boom.
There you go.
Yeah.
Very excited. One day you might decide that you pick up an extra trigger, or maybe you find one at some point.
I looked. It's a hassle.
Because it's the Paul Buff ones, right?
Yeah, that's the
they
only
they don't just issue. Show up in the camera store.
No, they don't. You have to order them directly, and the price has held. They're the exact same price they were when I bought my first set 5 years ago. So it's around, I think it's around 70 bucks for a, 60, 60 bucks for a receiver.
Right.
Plus the shipping and the dealing with the duty or whatever you have to end up dealing with. Not the duty, but the GST. It gets expensive. Uh-huh. For one, like if you're going to order a bunch of them, it's sort of, you know, you prorate that cost over the number of units. It's kind of reasonable. But for one, so I looked on eBay, I looked on Craigslist to see, you know, if anyone had it kicking around Vancouver, I could grab one next time I'm in town. No dice. So we'll
That's
see.
That's unfortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do? I'm not going to cry about it.
Yeah, well, on the other side of things is I have a lot of triggers, uh-huh. and I rarely, you know, triggering 3 flashes at the same time.
Yes.
Just because, you know, you can get that 3-point lighting with a reflector, or you can get that sometimes that 3-point lighting using natural light. Like, there's a lot of ways around it, and setting up 3 flashes a hassle. I mean, I know I do it, and I do it, you know, sometimes when, you know, lighting up, like a white background, we'll use 3 flashes, but yeah, as much as possible, I think trying to use less versus more.
That's my plan too, but sometimes I have no choice. Like doing a white background, I want to have 4 flashes going on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be able to have 2 on the background, 1 key light, and then 1 just as a hair light, just a kicker. Even though you do get enough coming back from the white background itself, kind of shaping your subjects, I still kind of want that one from the top. And that's where the SB26 would come in, which would just trigger optically, and I wouldn't have to worry about it. But it's so rare, like you said, it's so rare that I'm not going to spend too much time worrying about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No.
Okay, good.
I was really busy, so no. I did not. I did zero photography.
Not even Halloween?
I guess that was technically last week. Yeah, I took a few pictures out at Halloween. Not really outside. Maybe one outside, but really I just took pictures of the kids with their candy afterwards.
Nice.
That's it. That was it.
Okay.
So you're right, nothing interesting.
Yeah, I was right. Yeah, I was right. Yeah. I also did the Halloween, so I'll post that picture of me and my son lumberjacking, like I said I would.
Yeah.
I'll post that up there. That was just a real quick snapshot where we walked outside. I had to set my camera up and let a friend of ours just fire away. She did okay.
Okay.
Then, like I said, we had the glorious, glorious fall weather. I mean, it caught me on so much by surprise that we went to the playground the other day, and I was like, you know what? I'm just bringing my black and white film camera. I'm going to snap like 3 or 4 shots. And we get there, and it was just amazing. And I thought, I really should have brought my color camera today. It really was nice. But there was one in particular, my daughter riding her bike. And so I'm going to throw that up there.
Oh, I saw that on your regular Facebook.
Correct.
Yeah, nice picture.
Yeah. Everybody's singing happy birthday to my wife right now, by the way.
Okay, you can just kind of join in if you like.
No.
Just maybe hum it.
This is like her 71st birthday.
Okay. So you mean of this birthday? Like she's having like a million celebrations? That's the way my wife does it.
Oh, no, no. She turned 71 today. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I married her for her money.
Okay.
Yeah. Thought that was clear.
Yeah, well, it is.
No, we don't do the million birthdays like your wife, the birthday month.
Yeah.
Every day. It's like she has an advent calendar of birthdays leading up to her birthday.
Yeah.
And if you think I'm kidding, Adam will tell you I'm not kidding.
No, and it's coming soon, so I'm getting ready for it.
Now, do you do that for your birthday, or you just kind of go, no, hey, I'm an adult?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wasn't much of a birthday celebrator. I guess when I was a kid, but I think once I became a teenager, I think I was more or less like, all right, cool. Do I get some money or something?
Great. Yeah. Did somebody get me a bottle of something? Let's go. Let's open that and see where this goes. One of my birthdays, speaking of birthdays, one of my birthdays, have I talked about this on the show before? I'll be quick. Me and some of the guys went out long before I was married or even knew my wife, but went out to the nightclub drinking out there in around Vancouver, the outskirts of Vancouver. And you know, the night ends at 2 o'clock, the bar's shut down. Well, we go to an after party, and it's at Bachman Turner Overdrive's house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has out there.
And, that's funny.
Yeah, so that was kind of weird. Just big giant party, and they were there. Randy Bachman wasn't there, but the other Bachmans or the Turners. No Overdrive. It was. I don't think they showed. But that was kind of weird to hang out with half of BTO running around at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Does anybody else in the world know what you're talking about?
I've dropped a story on a few people that you wouldn't think would know it, and they did know.
Yeah. Everyone's at their computer right now Googling it.
Hey, everybody knows taking care of business.
Okay, that's true, yeah.
Come on, roll on down the highway.
Did they played the CFL a few years ago at the Grey Cup. Didn't they?
I doubt it. Come on. They're not even... The CFL is bigger than that.
I think they did.
Did they?
I'm going to have to look it up now, yeah. Like, maybe. Not that long ago. In the last 5 years, I'm going to say.
Well, somebody let us know if they played. I'm going to say it's in Winnipeg.
Okay.
They probably played it in Winnipeg. Or you might be thinking of the Guess Who.
No, definitely not.
They're the same. Pretty much the same. Generally, when I tell this story, people ask me about the Guess Who. Do you mean the Guess Who? Yeah. If it helps you. April Wine. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I was at April Wine's house. Photo challenge.
Yeah.
Let's get right into it.
Okay.
Gradient background.
Okay.
I like yours.
Thank you. Yeah. I did this last night right before I went to bed.
Good.
I had a stand-in picture of myself that I didn't particularly like, and so right at kids' bedtime, I said, Sarah, will you please help me out for the photo challenge,
yep.
And this is what we did.
How many times did you have to ask her? Because my daughter must be taking a page out of your daughter's book. Like, no, I'm not helping.
Actually, this time she agreed, mostly because she was already up well past her bedtime, and this means it got extended by a few minutes. So, and that plus she likes to hold one of the real cameras. So mm-hmm. I said she could pose with the real camera. So that was part of her cooperation. Plus, this was really simple and fast. So it was all of 2 minutes to do this.
I honestly someday I'm going to have to explain to my kids that not everybody has a photographer with a studio in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, other people get dressed up, get excited, and like put this on their calendar 3 months in advance and pay a lot of money for this, and you can't be bothered to sit still for 40 seconds.
Yeah.
My son, again, not even 2 years old, this is his attitude. Done. Done. Fair tig. Yeah. That's not even a word. That's just something he made up. And he just, he can't wait. Just, I'm out of here, Dad. Forget this. You're boring. And I'm like, but look how well lit you are, son. You don't seem to understand this. I even told my daughter yesterday when she wouldn't help or sit still for some other photo. I said, you go around. I want you. Here's a little homework for you. Next time you're at your other friends' houses, ask to see their photo albums. Okay. Have a look through and then compare them to yours. You're going to be very, very disappointed in their photo albums.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, she didn't seem to care. Yeah. Yeah, Emma's mama gives us chocolate. Oh, great. Awesome. Thank you. Great. Anyways, so here's... Now, tell us what's going on here, because today's topic is the gradient background with the one light. How to do it.
Okay.
So tell us how you did this.
This is one speed light in the softbox with a grid on it. So in a small softbox with a grid, camera right in front of a wall. My daughter's maybe 3 feet from her back to the wall, and then I've got my voice activated light stand of a wife holding the flash, because I didn't even want to bother setting up a light stand, so I just handed her the flash inside the softbox and just said, stand over there. And with the grid, you have a little bit more control as far as where the spread of that light's going to fire.
Yes.
So basically, it's all about angles. You probably need a light diagram for this, but she's standing camera right. I'm basically positioning myself at an angle so that she basically shoots that light kind of off of the in front of her and catches the wall on the one side as I angle myself going the other way, because the wall's flat, you can't really tell.
You're not perpendicular to the wall.
No, so I turn because I want to see some of that where that flash isn't going to hit the wall. And then also because the shadow from her with the flash and the proximity, because she's only 3 feet from the wall, camera left, you see it starting to drop off again. Well, if I basically didn't turn myself like that, well, then I'm going to get my daughter's shadow because the flash is going to hit my daughter and then cast a shadow. So I have to rotate myself to sort of shoot the other way, and that way I get that nice dark gradient. This is all in camera. Like, this is basically straight out of camera, no crop, nothing. This is just blam, one shot, a little bit of saturation, and done. Like, that was the thing. I wanted the gradient. I mean, I could completely intensify this with contrast or with the vignetting effect on the camera, but this is just the light spread on the wall without doing any of that,
which was the challenge. I did the same. I did not use any in-camera tricks myself because I wanted to achieve this. Now, this is the one I think the biggest takeaway here is that you did this, you're not straight on perpendicular to the wall,
right?
All three of mine. Like, I put three images up. One image, and then I figured two, just to help explain the technique. But it's only one challenge photo. But all three of mine were straight on with the wall. And it honestly, when I was shooting these three, it hadn't occurred to me to actually angle myself that way.
Okay.
Even though I absolutely have. I like to use corners of rooms and angles like this all the time. But for some reason, I kept trying to achieve mine in a straight-on fashion.
Okay.
Go figure. But no, I really, really like it. Now, what color is the wall in life?
The color of the wall is kind of like a little bit more blue than gray. So it's not really a true blue. I don't even know what you would call it, but it's bluish. It's kind of in between a lighter blue and the gray color that you see there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So bluey gray.
Yeah, bluey gray.
Okay. Looks great. Like, this is like the sort of image you kind of hope to achieve, and you could spend a lot of time lighting if you don't know what you're doing. But this is, again, something you can achieve really quickly.
Yeah, and it was all about just where her shadow was. And I didn't want to have to crop it, so that was where I was rotating.
I didn't want to have to crop it.
I just thought it was that, plus I just wanted to do this. How can this be done in camera with nothing, like with no cropping even?
Yes.
Because, again, that was sort of in my head, that was what was the idea. So I kept trying to rotate until I could get that shadow to disappear. Or it just took on more of the gradient effect that I was going for.
No, this is a good photo, though. I mean, if you were to shoot this, like, if this were to be a thing, like, you're going to spend an extra 3 minutes on, you'd probably get the bounce board out and fill her eyes out a little bit.
Absolutely, but I thought that was, because we had said one light, and then I thought, oh, well, that's technically not one light anymore, but that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, all I got to do is throw the bounce board on her other side, and we'll get you know, that other side just softly lit as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, we like
to... And the camera and the lens and all that, so yeah, sure. It would have been real, real easy to do that, but I actually... maybe I'll have to do it again and see the difference, but I kind of like the dark drop off, and I think it in black and white would look cool. Again, didn't bother to do any of that, but
didn't have the time.
Yeah,
one click. Nope.
One.
Here you go. Done. Yeah. That's the way it should be, though. You don't want to spend too much time. I'm spending so much less time editing pictures, and I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's mine. So mine is the one of my son. That's the first one I took.
Okay.
Now, I anticipated you doing a really strong gradient, so I wanted a more subtle gradient.
Okay.
So that's why I went with this. The rest is self-explanatory. He's sitting with his leg up on a chair.
Okay.
That's it.
And so you shot this, you said, head-on.
I am perpendicular to the wall.
Or not head-on, but perpendicular to the wall. Sorry,
correct. Yeah. The light itself is off to the right, same as yours. And in the softbox, I didn't bother getting the grid for it.
Okay.
Just because I couldn't be bothered climbing up to the attic. I think it happens to be sitting in the attic right now, and I just didn't want to go get it. Even though I should, because I should be using it for other things, I didn't.
Okay.
Like you, I share your work ethic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, and this is angled in front of him so that the light is feathering onto him and then a little bit feathered onto the wall, and the bulk of the light is falling in front of him that you can't see.
Okay.
So that's why we get the very subtle fall off effect, which I guess would have been ramped up if I had angled myself to my left, camera left, probably would have been a lot more pronounced.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so I like it.
It's fine, but I think the difference now, this is something else I was having trouble with, because after I shot this, I wanted to shoot an example for the show, because this week's topic is we're going to talk more about getting that gradient background. But before we get into that part, I couldn't make this paint, because this is just a wall, our downstairs. I couldn't make this paint perform.
What do you mean?
Every time I would shoot anything, I couldn't get a really hard gradient without putting the light right against the wall. I purposely, when I painted the room, I bought the flat paint, not the shiny.
Yeah.
Like, you can get glossy or whatever finish, right? And it's a glossy finish. I bought the flat one, matte finish, and I think it makes it more difficult. It just throws an even light with soft light. It just throws even light all over the place.
Interesting.
So I don't know. This is my best guess, because I have shot this shot before with different kind of paint, and I'm assuming the glossy paint, and you get that effect really pops out a lot more. So there you go.
So you're blaming your wall.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just too good of a painter. So there's that. So the one light background gradient. What do we mean by gradient?
You can see a clear kind of dark to lighter color scheme.
Yes. The light kind of falls off, and so we get that sort of... I mean, it doesn't have to be color, it's tone as well, but it turns into color. It'll go from whatever, you know... In this case, I have that maroon background, the maroon walls. It'll start out maroon and basically fall into black if you buy the glossy one. But it'll fall off into black, so it'll change color that way, but mostly a tonal situation.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we want sometimes. And so sometimes we'll create that with a second light. Like you'll put a light, you know, that rakes across the background, which we've, you know, I've done many times.
Yeah.
And kind of breaks up the background, creates this awesome gradient right in camera. But we wanted to try it just with the key light. Have the key light perform both. Okay?
Yes.
So how do we do that? What's the number one... Well, we talked a little bit about it, you know, how to position your subject. What happens if you position your subject right against the wall?
Well, then you get a big shadow.
You get a big shadow, but also the way the light is going to hit, you're probably unlikely to get much of a gradient anyways, unless it's right in close. And then, because in order to get the fall off, you sort of need an edge of the light. Right?
Okay, yeah.
So...
It can still be done, but it's a totally different effect. I'll give you that.
It is more of a spotlight effect, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I would call it.
But... So generally, I find that to achieve this effect, hard light is much, much easier.
Okay.
Maybe not necessarily desired... But you will see the effect very quickly with hard light, with a smaller light source. Because you're basically able to control the edge and thus the fall off much, much easier. Which is what you use the grid for. You use the grid to control the edge of your light. So it doesn't spill off and fill in the whole background, right?
Right.
So I took one shot of my daughter in black and white. Using a bare flash with a snoot, no less. It's in, the one in black and white. It that is against a white background.
Okay.
And so this is 100% in camera. That's not her shadow because the camera the flash is camera right, and shooting across. And so that's what's basically using to light her and the background behind her. But you can see the gradient sort of in behind her head as it goes from light gray. To dark gray to black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is a very pronounced example of how to do it with a hard light. I also shot one of my wife with a soft light, which I tried to make it a little more pronounced than the one with my son, but it was in the same room. And again, it's there, but it's not nearly as much as the one you shot of your daughter.
Right.
More than and
it might
son.
Be might be partly the color, right? The color of the wall, like just the fact that it already is so dark, that wall.
That's another issue. Yes, I kind of came to realize that I get a little more success when I use a lighter wall and control the darkness instead of controlling the light.
Right.
It's kind of a weird way to put it. A little pretentious, actually.
Okay.
But that's what I find. Makes this result a lot easier. Because in order to really ramp up and make the wall bright, like a darker wall like this, you have to get a lot of light going, which is going to probably blow out your subject.
Exactly.
And then you stop down and things even out, and so it kind of makes it difficult. So once you pick your wall, in this case, go with a lighter one to get better results like Adam did. Position your subject. Now, hard light is nice, but not very many people, aside from 4-year-olds and 8-year-olds, look good with hard light.
Agreed.
We tend to like to light our subjects with some variant of soft light. So let's try to achieve this effect with a soft light. Now, that's in an umbrella, which is hard to control, but we can still do it. Softbox is nice because you have a lot more control. But we start with positioning our subject. Well, the closer they are to the wall, the more difficulter it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
The further they are from the wall, the more difficult it's going to be.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a sweet spot.
absolutely a sweet spot. So, as we mentioned, right against the wall is going to be a shadow, but too far out, and everything's just going to fall off into black. And then you lose it altogether. So you kind of got that 3 foot range is kind of the sweet spot where I would look for. And that's where my subjects were all positioned. Same as yours.
Yeah.
Next, where do you put the light?
Physically,
I don't mean distance from the subject or the wall or what have you, but on a how many degrees to the right or left do you go? Do you put it straight on the front, straight on the side at 90, or in between?
I'm not sure. I think that's a creative control. But as far as the grading
goes, you did well.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be off to the one side for sure. I'm not sure exactly how far off in terms of degrees, but let's start at a 45. Let's say that.
That's about where I would suggest as well, which kind of gives you really sort of, you know, high contrast lighting on your subject, which kind of, you know, you don't always want, but it leaves that like the right side of your daughter's image a little bit dark.
Yeah.
Whereas if it was straight on, it would sort of wrap around and fill in more, but you lose the gradient effect. So let's say we started around 45. That's about where I would start and then sweeten it according to taste. Okay?
Yeah.
How close to your subject do you go? And how does that affect the background?
Well, again, it's going to kind of depend on what sort of light modifier, modifier you're using. But in the case of mine, I think I'm same thing. I'm like, you know, 3 or 4 feet. I'm relatively close.
Yes, too close, and your subject is going to be much too hot, and you'll have to basically stop down, which means you'll lose the background altogether. Too far away, and you're going to be too your subject will be too dark. You have to open up, and again, you'll lose the background altogether. It'll be too bright. It'll just be kind of, you know, a nice wash. So you want to get close enough that your subject is properly lit, and yet you still have that edge, the fall off on the one side. So it is around 3 feet. So it's probably, you can figure on equidistant from your subject to the wall and your subject to the light.
Good way of thinking of it.
I just kind of thought that in my head right now. but that's exactly how I end up doing it. Like, when I'm sitting down in the quote unquote studio, that's just how I start.
Yeah.
Not on purpose, it's just by feel. And so that's kind of where to go. Now you can move in and out according to what you like. Now, the closer you move in, the darker your background's going to be, which is counterintuitive. Because it will actually brighten up, but your subject will brighten up faster than your background will.
Right.
So you'll have to stop down to accommodate, which means you'll lose your background. And then when you move back, again, your background will lighten up. It's kind of the opposite. It's like flying an airplane. You push the forward to go down, back to pull it. You wouldn't know that.
No.
It's the opposite. Is it? No. So now we have the distance.
Yeah.
What about the angle of the light itself? Now, I know we set the standard at 45, but do we point our light right at our subject?
No. You would in the case, depending on the effect you're going for, if you feather the light behind your subject, then you're going to create the gradient in one direction, versus if you feather the light in front of your subject, you're going to create a very different gradient. But yeah, you can't point it right at them and get a great gradient on the wall.
You don't normally, besides that, you don't normally get great light on your subject. I mean,
yeah, it's a little more harsh if you're going to fire it right at them anyways.
We talked a long time ago about feathering, and that's the best tip that when you're starting out using umbrellas and whatnot, that's the first thing that you probably don't think of. You just think, all right, well, I'm going to point the light at my subject and go from there. But then you realize, someone tells you, this light over here is much better. So you end up wasting a lot of the light. So in my image of my son, I angled it I basically angled it so that the right side of the feather is falling on him and the wall, and the left, the main part of the light, and the left side of the feather is falling off into nothing. It never got captured, never used, just wasted it. And that's generally what you're going to do most times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go the other way and you angle to the right and only use the left feather on your subject, now you're throwing all that light, the main light and the right-hand feather onto the wall.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that you can't get that gradient effect this way. It's just going to be a decidedly different effect.
Exactly.
So that's something to think about. You have to experiment with what you want to do and what you
like.
And
what your space is. And, you know, there's a lot of variables here. Like this, the one I did is in a very tight space.
Yes.
So, you know, I've got, you know, a bed in one position and I've got a light switch in another position and a picture on the wall. And so, you know, basically all of that's going to affect where you decide to position yourself, your subject, and the light.
And if you're too close to a corner or the other wall, that's maybe off camera, some of the light's going to hit that and bounce back and maybe fill in your gradient.
Yeah.
Which you don't want to do. So that's how we choose where to point the light. And that should, again, give you, well, look at Adam's, it'll give you a great gradient effect. And lastly, here's the tip of the day, comes from Adam.
Okay.
Evidently, don't position yourself perpendicular to the wall. Go ahead and shoot on an angle, and if it's a clean wall like this, you can't tell.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, no, neither could I. And again, that was just an experimentation thing. That was largely about, again, trying to keep her shadow out of the image.
Yep. I was very careful to keep my subject's shadows out of their images. But I had to do so by, you know, framing it or cropping it in post. Like my daughter's image is a square crop on purpose. But had I merely shifted, wow, the results would have been way different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably gonna shoot that like tonight if my kids will let me. I will try that little trick again. So like I said, it's something I've done in the past, never consciously in this situation, but now, thanks to Adam, I'm gonna add that into the bag.
Yeah, and I mean, you can create, you know, angled gradients too. Like the gradient that I have is a pretty kind of up and down sort of shifting light, but just changing the angle of your light will completely change what the effect of your gradient looks like too. So
okay, changing the angle, what do you mean?
You mean like, so bringing the light higher and shooting more down on an angle versus, you know, side to side. Like you can play around quite a bit. Like this light is slightly you know, coming from a higher angle than my subject. But again, we could almost change this overhead and back to the right. And then again, completely change what the gradient's going to look like on the wall as well. So
yes.
there's a lot of options as far as your light position to get a different gradient effect on the wall. So I suggest when people do this that, you know, you just basically play with the light. Once you have something you like, just keep trying it with slightly different lighting positions, and then you know, get an idea in post what you like.
And then, I mean, if you want to get more complicated, you start adding in flags and what they can do in terms of flagging off that light. But one real quick tip is, if you are shooting with an umbrella and you're one of the people like myself, who when you bought an umbrella, you bought the shoot through / reflective umbrella all in one.
Right.
Has the black cover that you take off. Okay. Try this. Try taking the black cover half off and shooting through it. So that basically on the left-hand side, if you have your flash on camera right, and you're basically, you'd have the exposed part of the umbrella on the left side shooting through it, and the reflective stays on the right-hand side. That acts as a flag, and it allows you to control the fall off onto the wall. So now you can control how much you get spilling onto the wall, and then you can then adjust it to make your nice gradient effect as you like.
Okay.
That's it.
great.
Nicely. I'm gonna go corral my kids right now. I know they're playing with their friends, but that's too bad.
Okay.
Tough break. Next week's challenge.
Do you have one?
I do, because if you notice my wife's shot and my daughter's shot, they look a little hinky.
Okay.
Do they not?
Yeah, I noticed. I thought maybe your Promis filter.
Nope. Even better.
Not your Promis.
Even better. So next week's challenge, and I'll talk off the air, because next week's show we'll talk about how to achieve this for very little money.
Okay.
Very little effort, very little money, and it's pretty awesome. So next week's challenge is soft focus.
Great.
Websites. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca and Two Hosers Facebook.
Check it out. How about yours? You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find out all the photos, everything we talked about just now, and popcorn.
Okay.
No popcorn. There's no popcorn there. I didn't mean to get your hopes up.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.